I'm sorry, if it doesn't say Coca-Cola, it is not a goddamn Coke.
Okay, I forgot.
Because if somebody asks me for
a pop up there where you're living,
soda, pop, cola, I'll accept all three of those.
In Texas, it's all Coke.
It's not Coke because I see Pepsi products.
In Texas, it's all Coke.
You're lying. You're lying to yourself.
And everyone in here,
you're lying to yourselves.
My brain shorted out when she said freeze.
Oh, good. I saved you from our seat.
Thanks.
So I'm just going to go ahead and start this because we're already past the start time and nobody else is here. So we're at StripCon, the Dallas Web Comics Expo, and it's apparently year four.
Yes. Yes.
Year four. And this is our attempt at doing a podcasting panel, and I guess I'm going to be sort of running the show, but I'm going to try not to overtake it because I don't think that's fair. But let's go ahead and introduce the people we have on our panel over here on the left.
I'm Adam. I'm from Radcast. RADDCAST. Check it out. We do video and audio podcasts, cons, any basic nerd stuff, comic books, movies, everything. So that's kind of our show.
Alrighty. And you, sir?
I'm Ben of Animation Aficionados, animationaficionados.com. We talk about animation mostly, cartoons, anime, anything is fair game. Our format is a round table, so we'd like to get guests to come in. Anyone who listens who's interested, just tell us and we'll bring you on the show. That's what we do. And we're actually thinking of starting a second podcast called Comic Connoisseurs about comic books. So we're going to do a test run first, see how it runs, and then go from there.
All right. And you?
My name's Kyle. I actually have two shows. I produce a web series called The Tech Tard Show, which we talk about tech and the idiotic cultures that some people do, and then also nerd, you know, stuff like, you know, comics and games and stuff, but also do another show, audio podcast called MC Square, where it's music, culture, comedy, and we talk about everything from music, you know, and just like last episode we talked about the Olympics and, you know, the new Tron series, and so we're over four guys. We'll have guests on the show from other series too, but we just kind of like, you know, hit the thing. We do skits and everything, but, you know, it's just basically just trying to make, you know, make an enjoyable show that people can laugh at. The whole thing with both shows is really about nerd culture, so...
All right, and you?
And I'm Rick Gutierrez of the United States of Geekdom, unitedstatesofgeekdom.com. I also run a Disney show called Rediscovering the Magic, where we just talked about all 51 current animation, Disney feature animation films.
Awesome. And I'm Fess, who I work on the Webcast Beacon Network, which we got Webcomic Beacon Podcast. Guess what we talk about? Also, there's a web fiction show and a comic book review show. And just a lot of stuff there, and so I'm just going to leave it at that. So normally when I do these podcast panels, I usually start off for, hey, how do you start a podcast? But let's just go down the line and ask, how did you get into podcasting, and tell us about a little bit of your journey.
I had all this studio recording equipment that I used to be a musician, so I have all this gear. Thought I'd start doing a podcast and talk about stuff I like, so that's kind of how I got started.
Did you have any podcasts that you were familiar with that kind of inspired you to do anything in particular, or?
No, nothing that I, like, at the time I'd listened to, like Smodcast and stuff like that, like, when it first started years ago. So I already knew how to do most of the stuff, so I just knew which direction I wanted to go in, and I didn't really have any kind of inspiration for it. I just wanted to do it. So there wasn't anything that inspired me to do it. I just was like, hey, I want to do this. So.
All right. Did you find the venture a little bit more confusing, or did you already pretty much know where to basically publish a podcast online?
No, I had to find that out, but it's really not that hard to go and look up the information. So you can figure out how to make an RSS feed.
So what do you presently use for your internet distribution method?
Well, I have a couple that I go through. We do our show in both video and audio format. So we have Blip TV that we use for video, which we'll also distribute to like YouTube and other places. And then for the audio portion, I use FeedBurner for my RSS feed, and then that feed goes to Stitcher Radio and iTunes. And then a bunch of other stuff that I know it goes out to, but I don't know everywhere it goes out to.
Okay. All right. And Ben, same question for you. How did you decide that you wanted to talk to everybody?
Well, it was simple. It's just I wanted to do something. And I wanted to do something where I could be myself. The biggest reason why I wanted to do a podcast was I like having interesting conversations with like-minded people or people who even disagree with me. The best way to do that is to get my voice heard. And
I'm very familiar with that aspect of yourself.
Well, yes, I know. And you can check out the Animation Aficionados episode, Defending Teen Titans, where me and Neil own Fez's ass about.
In your opinion, I am pretty sure there are fans that will highly disagree with that.
Oh, it was epic. Own it.
I will totally defend the first two seasons for sure. After that, I'll give you a little bit. But anyway,
it was an amazing show. You should check it out.
So what are you doing for your distribution method for online?
Well, we have an RSS feed. Obviously, we also have going to iTunes and Zune. So, which is going to change the theme to the Xbox Live something or other. I don't know why. Microsoft is changing the branding on that, but basically it was very simple to set up. You know, it's all you really need is Skype, a Skype recording program, and a good set of headphones. I have a pair of headphones that's actually Ben Heck branded, and everyone knows who Ben Heck is, right?
Right. What are you hosting on for your actual MP3 files for your podcast?
Just my regular web space.
And that is?
On GoDaddy.
GoDaddy. All right. Did you mention where you're hosting your podcast files?
We do use GoDaddy, but I wouldn't recommend it.
All right. we'll probably talk a little bit more about that specifically later. We're just doing a little bit more introductions. And you, sir, how did you decide that you wanted to do your particular podcast?
I actually kind of started because I've worked on my master's and also I teach media production classes up at UTD. And so it's like I've been teaching, you know, teaching people about video and audio. And so being around with the whole social media, and like I work with the WordPress groups and everything. I kind of won the Tech Tard show. I kind of got brought in as the intern, but we were doing it at my friend Mark's place, and then we got hooked up to an actual studio in Addison called Livid Lobster Studios, and now I produce operating a TriCaster every Tuesday night. We live stream on Justin.tv, and then we take the feed and we put it on Blib.tv, but we also go through Libsyn and it gets distributed as MP4, you know, all the video stuff. And then with the audio with MC Square, my best friend Kern used to be an audio engineer for Keymails Radio, so he had all the equipment. So he has a mixer and everything. So we just hooked up the laptops, headphones, and we just kind of go from there. And we're actually hosting on Podomatic.com, which is another place you can. And they have like for a minimal fee every month, you can get up to like 2 gigs, 2.5 gigs of storage. And then after that, you have to use like a backup, like Libsyn, which is like one of the bigger like hosting to backup categories. So you can just dump it there and people can go back and, you know, all the bigger, like a Smodcast, the Nerdist podcasts are all in Libsyn. So that's like where you can go back and
hear. So you got a monthly allotment that you're allowed to upload.
And then after you get that limit, then you have to have somewhere that basically you dump them to. And even that itself, you pay minimal fee there. And you get like maybe 2 gigs. But the good thing about Libsyn is as you get to the end of the month, it dumps it back. And so then you get a whole free space again. So it keeps all your audio. But, you know, it's just, you know, it sometimes.
Because the idea is that after a month, you're not really going to be having a lot of hits on those older ones.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's the idea.
It's only if you get new listeners and they want to go back and listen to the past episodes, that's where you're going to go find people, you know,
downloading
those ones. So.
All right. What was that hosting site again?
Libsyn. Podomatic.com for the audio, but the main one, if you want like to keep all your stuff in backlog, Libsyn.com.
Okay. All right. Now moving on to the guy in the end here.
All right. I originally started with a podcast called Amazing Comic Cast. Actually, no, strike that. I started with a show called Vader Cast. Nice. Which was a Star Wars podcast where I met my co-hosts for USG. I wanted to do more, and basically with the frustration that I had with not enough episodes being recorded and not enough stuff coming out, I was getting bored. It was in my blood. I wanted to do more. I started Amazing Comic Cast. One of my biggest inspirations in podcasting was the Hollywood Saloon. And I struck up a friendship with one of the guys, and he said, you know, you're talking about more than just comics on your show. Why not do a full, you know, an all geek topic show? And United States of Geekdom was born. I go through Podbean, and they've been wonderful. It's like a small fee, like $10 a month, something like that. And that's been that's been distributing.
Do they have a limited per month upload thing, or is it just?
It's I believe I'm going with the 1 gig a month right now
for uploading.
Mm-hmm. It's 1 gig space, and then 3 gigs of expandable storage for anything that's archived.
That won't work for long though. If you got tapped out at 3 gigs, I have 16 gigabytes of archive.
It keeps like restoring itself every month. So like every month it resets back.
So it's like, oh, okay. Okay, so it's okay.
I'm like the least technically savvy of the group, I think.
But I've heard good things about Podbean.
Yeah, Podbean's been wonderful for me.
All right. I don't know if I have 3 AAAs extra in my bag somewhere, so I might not be able to record this entire bit. Okay. But I'll put up what we got as we record. I actually have – I'm hosted on a site that's actually hosted on DreamHost. Yes, I know. They're looking to move. But we've basically been having free hosting by – our host, which is Rampage Network, which is under new management now. And they are going to move off of DreamHost, so that's good. But I was looking into options for hosting elsewhere because we went out for like 3 days. And that was like at least 6 or 7 days within 365 days that we were out. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I found out when you have a large archive, it's kind of hard to just move unless you just kind of slowly start over on like Libsyn or Podbean. You kind of, at this point, you got to buy a VPS server in order to actually upload all that or do some sort of crazy thing with Amazon S3, sort of like this storage solution. If anybody's really interested, you can ask me. I've been doing a lot of research on hosting, but if you are looking to have like a lot of traffic, start on one of these services that everyone else was talking about first and see where things go from there. But if you got like a large archive like myself, people that I talk to, you want to avoid all of the ones that are like unlimited hosting, which is complete BS, because if you start hogging the resources of these less than $10 a month sort of services, they can suspend your site because you're hogging the resources. So if you have somebody with me where you have at least 200 gigabytes of downloads per month, you're going to want to start looking at VPS services. Is what has been recommended to me. Probably don't need to go to dedicated at my level just yet. If I doubled, maybe, but that is a big concern. So if you can start off on one of these smaller site sources, it's probably going to be worth your while. And you, what were you saying that you were hosted on again?
We're on GoDaddy, but I'm not the happiest with them.
Right. Are you guys, like both of you, you're both on GoDaddy right now. I did notice that GoDaddy did offer a sort of like podcast sort of option. Are either one of you using that?
I'm not on there. They didn't have that option when we started. So.
Okay. It looked fairly similar to like what Libsyn was doing at the time, and I didn't quite understand it.
I just have web space, and I haven't had a problem with bandwidth yet.
Okay. Yeah, GoDaddy, I hear, is hit and miss. A lot of people complain about just dealing with them.
Well, the website itself is stupid.
Oh, yeah.
The actual tech layout is atrocious.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's buy more stuff. Are you sure you don't want to buy more stuff?
Every click, every movement of the mouse is go, hey, you need all of this. And so you have to basically go through and make sure you're reading.
Make sure you don't just click all the way through.
Yeah, if you click just all the way through, you're going to end up
with a $500 bill.
Stuff,
Yeah. But, sometimes I'm fine with dealing with it because I have 10 domain names on them right now. And I just renewed everything as $150.
Well, domain names are fine, but I mean, as far as like,
it's still a hassle to go through. You got all this stuff to look, make sure that they're not selecting. Hi, do you have a meal for me? So I get in food service here. And I bet you want money. That's the only thing you've come for. Oh, you can just set it down. Sorry to pause this podcast panel, but...
Well, it's not pause.
I'm recording it.
I'm recording
how much is it?
These are golden moments, man.
I'm recording it right now.
I'm recording
okay.
You.
Okay. 11:48.
That's right.
Wait. Will you take credit card? Okay.
No, I don't want to interrupt anybody's thing, but does anybody have any questions? Like anything that they want to know
any of the two
about?
People in our audience?
Yeah.
I actually do have some questions for you.
I'm hearing a lot of interesting things. First of all, former musician, or actually, that's kind of a bad thing to say. You're never a former musician. You're going to play something sometime. This guy's over here got United States of Geek, right?
Geekdom, yeah.
You've got anime stuff.
Animation
stuff.
Yeah, so I don't just go Japanese. I go with everything.
Okay, and... So am I like witnessing like the Avengers of podcasting? Like, and so there came a day like no other when four dudes and giant
just
leather chairs. Like, is that? Oh, yeah, exactly.
Our numbers aren't as good.
Just call me a Watu. I'm just watching. I'm not gonna.
Well, the original Avengers wasn't like 5 feet,
man. I'm just here to see what's going on.
Well,
I'm curious about it. How do you guys? Because I'm one of these people that is more critical of myself than maybe anyone else probably would be. So when I think and just. For background sake, I'm with Cosmic Comics out there, the Bender area, managing a comic book store that's been in business on a mom and pop basis for like 33 years. And kind of new to the scene and looking forward to getting the shop that's been in Dallas-Fort Worth for 30 some odd years actually into the mouths of guys like you.
Where are you looking?
Exactly. I'm in Grand Prairie off of Marshall and Beltline Road. So Basically, I'm as equal center as you can get to Dallas and Fort Worth.
Oh, yeah, I know that area.
I know exactly where it is.
Yeah. So, like I was saying, I'm usually more critical of myself. How do you guys keep it going? How do you, like, have your bad show, and then the next day you're like, oh, dude, time for another bad show?
Drinking helps. Yeah. Well, the thing to remember is some people say you're only as good as your last show. I don't agree there because you know, it's not quite the same as other mediums. You know, you have the archive there, and someone who's interested in a certain topic will find that certain topic and will love it. And also, I think, you know, if you have a bad show, you don't have to put it out. There's one show that is in the locker that I will never release.
But you saved it? Like, you have it for, like, when the day comes?
No. This was a quagmire of all quagmires. And we decided to do an off-topic episode where we talked about the new Ultimate Spider-Man being the new guy, whose name I forgot.
Miles Morales.
Yes, Miles Morales. And what happened was we had Tom Revore on that episode. And we also had Stephanie O'Donnell on that episode. And Tom Revore is an old-fashioned Texas conservative.
There you go.
And Stephanie O'Donnell is a New York liberal. And
wow.
We will never release that episode.
Ever?
Ever.
What about transcripts? Can we just get transcripts?
this episode is so... This episode was so explosive and so badly done. Everything was out of control. We couldn't stop those two. And...
So I hate to do it, but I have another question. You said something that I thought was interesting, that the people who tune into your individual podcast are looking for a specific niche. Do you find that you might have difficulty either A, being too much in a niche, or B, not enough?
I think with my podcast, we are not in enough of a niche. Because we kind of go... all over the map, because we're fans of a lot of stuff,
right?
Yeah, and we want to talk about a lot of stuff. But I think, especially in like podcasting, the more specific that you can be, there's going to be that audience out there for it.
Right.
And so I think in the case of my show, at times we are too broad. We've got a Star Wars guy who just talks about Star Wars. Well, there's podcasts just about Star Wars. There's podcasts just about comic books or just Marvel comics. I mean, you can go very specific and you'll find that audience. I think the more broad you are, you're spreading it out too thin.
What we do at the end of every episode, we do a random poll, or we try to do as random a poll as we can. Right now we're on more of a schedule because we're in our last like five episodes of our hat. Because I literally have an Indiana Jones fedora that I pull every topic out at the end of every episode. But what I try to do is I try to keep things evergreen. I try not to date myself on the show with, you know, mixed results. But it definitely, it depends on what's going on outside of everything else. But we try to keep it as evergreen as we can.
With the tech charts, like we literally have our segments down to three parts. We start off the show, Mark kind of does like idiotic tech news. Like there was one guy who decided to, you know, one of the stories was run into a convenience store wearing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles mask. You know, it's like, you know, Spider-Man robbed the store. He finds the real stupidity a tech stories. And then we have Sarah, who does Sarah Time, which is like, you know, the geek girl kind of story she does. And then we have the Kyle's Corner, which I really go in and find in the comic book news, the movie news, the video game news, the toy news. And so we really centralize three different areas. And, you know, when you said about, like, you know, if you have a bad show, it's like, because we're out of a studio, you know, like, you know, we're there once a week. I'm producing, so I'm doing everything. I'm running the chat room. I'm running the cameras. I'm running the audio. So sometimes we've had problems where because they changed everything around, we've had problems where we had to restart the TriCaster. And so sometimes, you know, that one of the cool things about it is because we do put the episodes on Blip and distribute it there. But also, you know, it, sometimes having that little bit of live feed where people will come look at maybe 10 or 15 people just because we're on a Tuesday night. If we're on a different night, we might have more. We'll have people chatting, you know, chatting with us. And we save the shows on Justin.tv. So that's the other good thing. It's like you can save an archive. And right now, they haven't done anything, but for free, Ustream, Justin, there's another show here in Dallas called the Clubhouse. And they do nothing but audio, but it's like a sports and wrestling kind of stuff. But, you know, they do nothing but audio on Ustream. They say everything. And eventually, there is a way you can actually send those to iTunes, too. So, I mean, there are different ways you can, you know, there are free services. It's hard to find. You got to research them, but there are ways to start off, you know, kind of small and eventually as you get bigger. And it, like, even if you have a bad answer, it's the love. It's a podcast. It's a passion. It's art. If you really like it, you got to keep going with it. Don't, you know, and don't go into think. A lot of people go in, oh, I want to do a podcast because I want to become famous. You want to do it because this is, you may never make money, but you want to have a voice. You want to do a show. You want to entertain people.
I was going to say, on a scale of scale of 1 to 10, how frustrated are you guys with being underestimated at the difficulty of actually carrying on a podcast? I imagine it goes something like this. You know, you tell your great uncle who's in town, yeah, I do a podcast for a thing. And they're like, okay. So they kind of maybe imagine a guy with a microphone in front of a dimly lit laptop screen or something opining away to the universe.
Which is pretty much it.
Really? Okay. Good thing great Uncle Tom can lock in on that one.
Well, I have to say, the way I started with the Webcomic Beacon podcast, and basically that grew out of a webcomics forum, and there were people on there that were doing their own webcomic reviews, and my initial thing was, let's get some of these people together. Let's put out a podcast. So it's like, it's a lot of, I would say, if you're doing a podcast right, and I think everyone will agree, at least you started off as a labor of love. If you start off with, like, I'm going to be famous with this, right. You're
wrong. Oh, yeah, I'm totally going to be a rock star out of it. So
yeah, and it's just like people starting a webcomic thinking, oh, I'm going to become the next blah blah blah.
This is the next Penny Arcade.
Yeah, it's just not going to work that way.
At no point did I ever think I was going to get famous for it.
Yeah.
At no point did I ever think in a million years I would end up, doing anything. Well, I mean, even remotely, that would make me famous.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's more like I get to sit down with my friends for an hour out of the week, out of my week.
And have a fun conversation.
52-hour work week or something like that, and I get to sit down for an hour and just hang out with my friends and talk about stuff that we like. Mm-hmm. And that's more or less what it is. And so, like, when you're talking about having a bad show, I'm just like, screw it. We got another show next week. So, I mean, we release our material frequently. It's every week, so... If you have a bad show, you just like, all right, look at the numbers for that show. Just go make another one.
On the topic of bad shows, I mean, like, do you mean like just everybody was low energy, or like just tech-wise? Because
I might be a musician and have some experience with mixers and these things, these different things that you plug into a computer. Tech-wise, I would have no information for you. So I wouldn't know. What I mean literally when I say a bad show is maybe you feel like you misspoke. Maybe you realize that you were opining in a completely false perspective. Maybe somehow somebody close to you criticized a thing in a cheeky way that just rubs you wrong, man. Sets you off.
I got a good one.
There's nothing that I can't fix in post.
Okay, gotcha.
While editing.
And controlling Control X.
We try to keep everything in.
I try to do that as well.
Because to me, that's the randomness, the pissing off the right person.
Exactly.
Getting yelled at. That passion is what people are tuning in for, because you don't get that on the radio.
Exactly.
You don't get that kind of stuff anywhere else. You get that on podcast. You can say pretty much whatever you want. Like, we tone down anything that might come across badly for some people, but as far as getting angry, getting passionate, swearing, we don't care.
I got a few really good examples. There's this one, one time out of 240 episodes. No, where we've had like a guest not show up, and this is back when I tried to really super schedule everything. We're going to talk about this topic, and I'm going to try to get blah 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 blah. And it just, we called them spectacular failures at the time because it's things totally didn't go according to plan, and we basically just had a whatever show. And some of those are actually really, really good. Just, you know, the whole working with the other people. But there also have been some, I would say, not as good shows where we tried something different and it just didn't work out. And I still put it out there for completion's sake. And there's an episode that felt a little bit more like an infomercial. I still put it out there because that's what it was. And a lot of things is – and I wanted to go back to like you were mentioning, oh, there's all these, you know, maybe you're not niche enough or you're not specific enough. But then again, you know, there's a lot of people already doing stuff out there. So if you want to make your own podcast, you got to look at what's already out there. And I always say to people, what can you do different? Like, can you talk about something different, or is it your personality with everybody else?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because, I mean, there's thousands of nerd podcasts out there. And, shows similar to mine, you know, we block ours in 2 half-hour segments. We have the first half hour we would completely BS and talk about what's been going on with ourselves, even though people may not care at all.
Right.
But then the second half is specific nerd news stuff that we cover and kind of make comments on.
Well, I find that the BS stuff is some of the best stuff.
Yeah.
It's
Like
for instance, my show, we have a pre-show and a post-show. The post-shows can go is like midnight to question mark.
Right.
And what I find is these discussions are hilarious that I have with our guests. We once had a guy from Canada once, and we had this discussion about polar bears. And for about how polar bears are the only animals in nature that actively hunt humans. What's really funny is sometimes we have this happen in the middle of the show. Like one time, my co-host Neil had to step away for a second, and I decided to torture one of our guests. One of our guests was a guy named JT who didn't know much about Star Wars comics. So I said to JT, "Hey JT, do you know how Darth Maul died in Star Wars comics?" And does anyone here know?
No.
Okay, Darth Maul survived getting cut in half.
Okay.
He has robot legs. And
like an MMA series now?
And anyways, he's hunting down Obi-Wan for revenge all through this comic. And at the end of this comic, he's at Tatooine. He's all pumped up. Oh, yeah, I'm going to kill Obi-Wan. And then Uncle Owen shoots him with a rifle and kills him.
Wow.
And this, I actually have this as a video on YouTube because JT was so amazed that this happened that it was hilarious. He was like,
"I was gonna say that those brings in other avenues, like, you know, with MC Square, we also do like other avenues, like, you know, I've started doing like I carry a foot camera with me and I'll record either pre-show or during show like a 2 or 3 minute clip of this stuff going on, and like, you know, like if you have little extra bits of stuff, you know, like content for you to watch for your show or even just interact with, you know, your Twitter feed, Facebook, you know, like during when we record our audio, like, well, had the reason we started MC Squared was because my knowledge on music, it's like you have the spectrum. You don't know shit. You have in the middle, and you have somebody who's an expert. And I'm on the whole freaking grid. I'm all over the place. It's like I'll know one thing and not know the other. So it was kind of a way to kind of educate me on music. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, it's just, you know, like every time we record, I'll put the shows on Twitter and Facebook. So if you know, if somebody doesn't hear the episode, they can say, "Oh, what's this about?" And they might want to hear what we're talking about, what we're going to spoof. We like the song, we not like the song. So, you know, it is a labor of love. But sometimes the extra content will also help, you know, draw your audience in for the show that you're doing.
Yeah, with our pre-show, I start recording at the intended record time, and then we end up just bullshitting for like a half hour. During the half hour, we basically set the tone for that episode. And then what I'll do is I'll compile it all into what one of our co-hosts has so eloquently referred to as the gem file. So we have a gem file episode in the works. Right now we're looking at about 2.5 hours. So, and that's just gem file material, just us bullshitting and just making fun of each other and all that stuff. So
that's the best stuff. Like I said, that's always the best stuff because I always find that pre-shows help, especially with a format like mine where I have new guests every week. It gets them acclimated to you, gets them relaxed. It especially helps when you get some people that you've never talked to before or people who are actually famous and you're like, "Oh, this is this famous guy." And if you get them to relax like a normal person, you're relaxed like a normal person.
Yeah.
And comes off much better. I mean, I've interviewed Flint Dilley, who wrote Transformers the movie. I've interviewed Marv Wolfman.
Nice.
And so it really helps. And I've interviewed tons of voice actors. I've interviewed Brett Weaver, Tiffany Grant.
Do you have Skype in or even on your show? Like, how do you have?
Always Skype.
Okay. How hard is it to get in touch with these guys? Because that's the one thing I would love to get a guest on the show, like an actual celebrity guest. That's the one.
Networking.
That's the one frontier I've yet to breach.
Also, just sending them an email if they have a contact. Just ballsing up and doing it.
How many times I interviewed Marv Wolfman, and Marv Wolfman said yes.
Wow.
I mean, if you find their websites, there's usually a contact for them. And we, when we first started doing that, we were like, oh man, what's going to happen? And then we were like, oh, we don't care because the worst they can say is no, and we'll just do another show anyway.
Yeah, the one attempt I had was Peter Mayhew. I went up to him and I asked him, how would you like to, you know, could I get an interview with you for my podcast? I'm sorry, I don't do podcasts.
Yeah. And, yeah. So we've had bad luck with Peter Mayhew as well.
So I got Max Brooks to do like a little bumper for the show. That was the most I've been able to do at one point.
Yeah, we once got a bunch of famous web wads, most of the high tier and upper middle tier web cartoonists at San Diego Comic Con once to give us at least bumps, but I've been too chicken just to shoot them an email because I figured they get tons of emails. Ah, they don't want to bother with us, but you know. Not for not if you don't try.
Though. I mean, they might be feeling generous one day and just be like, ah, fine.
Yeah, I've been trying to get David Willis on the show for a long time, and I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't want to. But I sent him like a couple of emails already. I keep trying to tweet at him. Hey!
From what I've heard, David Willis doesn't do podcasts.
Are you just saying that? Or
no, I've heard that.
Ah, damn it. All right, so we have a new person that has walked into our panel here. Do you have any questions about podcast? Yes, you, sir. Do you have any questions?
He's been sitting in here for like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Do you have any questions?
No, not at this time.
Well, fine. So
I'll jump in.
You have
another gem. I got a question. I heard you discuss having guests. I know that you just talked about guests, and we just had a nice little nerdgasm about certain celebrities. But my question would be, now you said over there on the left that you've had your friends. Everybody here has mentioned their friends or their group of people. How do you guys decide who to bring in on your circle of show?
Are you talking about like for a regular crew, or
I mean, let's say you're again at a con like this? Like, how do you decide? Like, you meet somebody interesting, you guys decide, let's get on the show.
Well,
do you feel okay with that? Especially, you said you have guests often.
I figure out who would make the best mixture. It's like mixing chemicals, and like I said, for this one show, I barred from ever being online. I didn't. Especially imagine it be that volatile. I imagine something more like the McLaughlin group, not what happened.
Right.
And it's very important to gauge who your guests will be. I've been much better at gauging guests after that. What I look for is the funny reactions, because I love getting my guests, you know, either extremely happy or extremely enraged on a subject.
But not with you.
Not with me.
With the subject.
With the subject. Because
very important.
Because I always hold that the funniest thing in comedy is real rage. Like when I described Darth Maul death to JT, JT had real unscripted rage, and that's the whole most hilarious thing I ever heard in my life. And it's also, you know, on that same extra bit, I also told him about Jackson.
Yeah, I'm experiencing seething silent rage at the thought of Darth Maul coming back. Okay,
and then being shot by Uncle Owen.
I'm keeping it in.
And then shot by Uncle Owen. Don't forget that.
Our people.
That's still sinking in.
Catherine, we're gonna rant about this on the show later.
You want the Smee story? Because I can tell the Smee.
Well, didn't somebody else that was supposed to be prolific get shot by a blaster?
And who's
Grievous?
That?
Yeah.
And who's that?
Grievous.
Grievous.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Maul went out like a punk.
Yes, he did. Uncle Owen.
He went out like a punk.
Yeah, Uncle Owen. He was shot by the burning corpse in episode 4.
Yeah.
We have to rant.
This is one of my co-hosts, by the way, on the show.
It's called Star Wars Visionaries #1.
This stuff's going on my show tomorrow, and I'm going to bring this up. But my friend Curran's a huge Star Wars nut. This is like, you got punked by Owen. It's like all the people.
It's called Star Wars Visionary Number One. Look for it.
All right. Store.
Don't look for it.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We have the best Star Wars ever.
Like
yes.
It was there was a Han Solo story with Chewie. They go through a portal, land on this planet.
Are you talking about the one with Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Where I'm sorry. Whoa.
Yes. Yes. Whoa. Yes. Favorite of all time.
Hey, the Millennium Falcon crashes. Han dies. Indiana Jones shows up millions of years later, and he sees the skeleton. He says, "I have this odd feeling. I have a connection to the pilot."
Yeah. And Chewie becomes the legend of the Sasquatch.
No,
that should have
been Indiana Jones
4. Yes, yeah. My favorite of all time.
What makes that worse is the guy with them was Short Round, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Crystal Skull, though.
Yes, well, anything's better than Crystal Skull.
A lot of things that are stupid can be forgiven if they're fun, and not necessarily can.
Very true.
True. Well, you know about Jackson and Star Wars, right?
Yeah, I knew about the Green Rabbit, yeah.
Okay, damn it, I can't use that against you. Okay, for people who don't know, there were Marvel comic books of Star Wars where Han Solo has a buddy named Jackson who's a 6-foot-tall giant space rabbit who looks like Bucky O'Hare.
Oh, I gotta remember that now.
Oh, they're looking to twitch in pain.
He lost 3 years of therapy, though.
And he shows up in Clone Wars.
Yeah, you're right.
He does?
Yes.
Cool. All right, so here's a good example of going off topic and having some fun. This is definitely great content for your podcast. However, if you're billing your podcast or your particular episode as something in particular, you should always try to harken back to your topic or after you're done sort of rework the explanation. I would say, otherwise you might be selling somebody a false set of sales or something like that.
I just give up. I can't control my
business. Well, yeah. I mean, but you can always like retitle it and talk about other shit or something like that.
I don't title the show until way afterwards. Yeah. I don't worry about names. I just have episode, season, whatever. Episode, whatever.
Well, the thing is, you might get the title of your show within the show. You might just, and somebody might say some stupid line, and you're like, oh, there's the title.
That's right.
That's exactly how we do it. Like we'll say something that's completely random or stupid, something that generally something that breaks Catherine. If it breaks Catherine, we say, okay, that's the title of the episode right there.
Well, speaking of titles, we actually had one guy leave us a comment saying, "I'm not even going to listen to to your podcast, but I already don't like it because the title was He-Man in a Terrible Era of Filmation." And this guy's like, "How dare you hate on Filmation?" It's like, I'm sorry, Filmation's terrible.
Yeah.
You live with it, make it your own.
I not hate on Filmation.
Sorry, I have all the He-Man boxes. I'm a fan of the stuff.
I was a fan
when I was a kid. I tried to go back and watch it, and I was like, I can't do this.
It's the rotoscoping, and they never look at each other when they talk.
I know. I'm have no problem watching the series. Thundercats, I tried to go back and watch, and I can't do that shit.
Oh, no.
Thundercats is at least well animated. I mean.
In parts.
No, it's. That's the thing about nostalgia. Nostalgia is a funny thing.
But I love Silverhawks. I have the Silverhawks box.
And that's also right.
Yeah, it makes you forget things.
Yeah. Once, before I moved out here, one of my friends made me marathon the entirety of seasons 1 and 2 of Transformers.
I have no problem doing that.
The Girl Who Loved Powerglide.
Written by David Wise.
And Crim Zeke.
Yes.
Two of the most puke-inducing Transformers episodes I've ever seen.
The funny thing is people try to give David Wise a lot of credit for the 87 Turtles series. I always say David Wise, the guy who wrote The Girl Who Loved Powerglide. Yeah. Really?
Well, yeah, remember, Paul Dini, Batman the Animated Series, used to be a writer on He-Man, the original Filmation.
Yeah, Filmation had all the greats in
there.
Exactly. Tom Ruger as well.
John Chris Belushi.
Now, we'll talk about back to Filmation. Gilligan's Planet.
Oh. Robot Stooges.
Yes. Oh, God.
Robotic Stooges.
Yes. I do want to throw out another thing, and this is, I think, everyone will agree, is this kind of every form, whether you're doing webcomic, podcasting, you're going to have the freaking internet trolls.
So,
do not let the back, even if you force yourself to read them, don't let these jackasses on the net that say something bad about you keep you from doing your thing.
I got a good one for that one. I made the mistake of going on Something Awful. To their webcomics.
Did you start a fight with SA?
We had a disagreement of things with, I don't know who it was.
Don't acknowledge them.
No. So I had to rant. One episode I had to rant. And I did call it Fess is a Whiny Baby. That's the name of the episode. because I was the one. I had to admit, and I had to warn people. If you really don't listen to this, if you don't want to hear me rant, I gave warning, but I had to include it to get it out of my system. And some people, and I make fun of myself too. And you got to be able to make fun of yourself, otherwise, exactly. You should get out of this business.
You did the no offense, but.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, I have also found that we've got a lot of comments when we say things that are somewhat controversial. Like we did an episode on Akira and Ghost in the Shell where me and Neil said that Akira and Ghost in the Shell are well animated but extremely overrated. And then we got a flood of people saying, how dare you say that about Akira?
But you say that about almost everything. Every time I download one of your episodes, unless it's Batman by Bruce Timm.
Well, it's not my fault Bruce Timm makes good stuff. It's not my fault. It's my fault that the man produces quality work. I don't see how that's my fault. But another time we also did an episode where basically, just as an off-topic thing, I slammed Ralph Bakshi. Ralph Bakshi is a hack. Ralph Bakshi is the first patent troll. He has a patent on rotoscoping. He has a patent on tracing on film, for crying out loud. And people are calling me out saying, how dare you criticize Ralph Bakshi?
So anyway, we were told to wrap up this panel here. Does anybody have any final thoughts as we go?
Just enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have fun. Have fun with it. Find a topic. Find a co-host. Find somebody to bounce off of. I've heard solo shows, and like some solo shows just don't work. It helps to have a co-host.
And like your call is maybe like I said for the two of us, it's like it might be the four friends you hang out every night. You just have good banters, so you just try recording that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You need to find a good co-host. Neil is my co-host, and he works extremely well because he's a lot more calm than I am. I'm a lot more animated about subjects, and you know he's the Eggman man to my Johnny Carson.
I don't have anything else to add.
All right. No, what we had, I when I first started the webcomic Vegan, I started with Tanya Higgins, who was a reviewer at the time, and we had a great show. We had a third co-host come on. Having three people on really worked for us, and that was our thing. He went by the wayside. I don't know what happened. He blocks me on Twitter, so something, I don't know. He doesn't like me or something. I never heard the story about that. But then we got Mark Savory on. Great combination. He's just the way the personalities work. And then Tanya had to leave, trying to find him somebody else. I had to find somebody that would be very enthusiastic to replace that other enthusiastic person that would give me crap all the time. It really helps to make sure that everybody who's on the show, like as far as main cast, really works well together. Aside from all that, I think we're pretty much done for this podcast. Can we go rattle off the websites that that we can find everybody at?
I'm at radcast.com, RADDCAST.
AnimationAficionados.com, all one word.
Spell it. I'm just kidding.
TechTards.com and then MCMusic.podomatic.com.
And UnitedStatesOfGeekdom.com and rediscoveringthemagic.blogspot.com.
All right, and you can find all of the stuff that I'm involved with at webcastbeacon.com. I want to thank everybody here for coming on the show, and thanks to everybody who came into the audience. Thank you, including the waiter that brought me my cheeseburger. So, and that is it. And thanks once again.